here come. Kill the guy. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. 503-733-2970. Yes, it's tough times for everybody. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up here in a short while, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, Peter Carlin, more from Clyde Lewis. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
booyah!
This is Tim Riley.
No, a semi has jackknife. Northbound I-5 at Marine Drive. That's red at Hooters. All northbound lanes are closed. No estimated time on reopening that highway. All northbound traffic should use I-205 instead. And there was another rollover on the I-205 northbound to Powell, but that is all cleared up. So we're ready for some fresh accidents out there today. Meanwhile, our top story, Entercom kills its listeners.
By the way, we're not making the story up.
No.
This is a true story.
Hold your wee for a wee competition kills a woman. This comes to us from Sacramento, I do believe. A woman has died by water intoxication after competing in a Hold Your Wee for a Wee contest. The competition hosted on California radio station KDND 107.9, an Entercom radio station, had contestants consuming large amounts of water when holding off using the toilet for as long as they could. The winner being
winner in this case being relative.
Well, but after competing for the Wii, 28-year-old Jennifer Strange complained of headache and was later found dead at her home in Sacramento.
You've won an autopsy.
There is no consolation prize. The coroner found the cause of death to be water intoxication.
And again, we should note that because radio is a lowest common denominator bag full of weasels, the contest was called, because it's a Nintendo Wii, Hold Your Wii for a Wii. You're dead.
Well, staff at the radio station owned by Intercom were stunned at the news.
Stunned!
John Gary, vice president and marketing manager for Entercom Sacramento,
which kills its listeners,
the station's owner said, quote, "We are awaiting information that can help explain how this tragic event occurred. However, we have no one at the front desk to accept such information. No one is answering the phone there, so please leave a voice message when that information becomes available."
We have no idea how this might have happened to us. Here's how it happened. It happens because morning shows engage in lowest common denominator behavior. But not here, of course, at Entercom, where they kill their listeners apparently with abandon. Fantastic. And I don't mean fantastic. I mean tragic. And by tragic, I mean terrible. And by terrible, I mean awful. That's what I mean. But really, look, who thinks it's a good idea to ingest, like, hundreds of gallons of water and then not urinate? I mean, if you really need death to indicate to you that that's not healthy behavior, maybe the gene pool is slightly better off without people who think that way. That's all I'm saying. Really, the point that we should make here, and the point that everybody, the lesson that we should take from this, is that Entercom apparently kills its listeners.
Right.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, which is not too close, not too far from Sacramento, which is where Entercom killed one of its listeners. Jim Roop, hello, sir.
How are you?
What's up with you, brother?
I'm just backstage at the Golden Globes right now.
Fantastic. Here's the thing. If you've ingested 40 or 50 gallons of water and you feel like you need to urinate, I encourage you to follow that that instinct.
And I would do it wherever I am.
Thank you. That's what sets CNN Radio apart. That's what, and CNN doesn't kill its listeners.
No, as
opposed to Entercom.
We wound them quite a bit.
No.
We don't kill them.
you kill them with kindness.
That's right.
You shoot them a smile. All right. Well, you're at the Golden. You're backstage.
Yes.
That's got to be gripping.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, by gripping I mean tedious. Is there anybody nominated for? Look, here's in my opinion the only way the Golden Globes could be interesting this year, and that's if Sacha Cohen is there as Borat to be nominated for something.
Well, he is nominated.
Okay, so he is. So he gotten
in
up.
In fact, they have two nominations. Borat's up for Best Musical or Comedy, and Sacha Baron Cohen is up for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy.
And was he there?
I don't know. I've not seen him arrive.
All right. So really, there's.
But I'm sure he will be.
So really, your day is a whole lot of sitting around looking at people you're not really interested in for
pretty
awards
much.
No one really cares about, looking at your watch and thanking God at least you're getting paid for this.
Every 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Have you heard any good jokes lately?
No, sir, I have not. There's not been any movement going on back here at all.
All right. Would you like to hear a joke?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
All right. So a clown and an 8-year-old boy are walking into the woods together.
All right.
And the 8-year-old boy says, "Well, these woods sure are scary." And the clown says, "How do you think I feel? I have to walk out of here by myself." There you go. You can feel free to tell that joke to others if you'd like.
It was John Wayne Gacy reference. Right?
it's what I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep, yep. Hey, did you know that Lisa Goddard... Let me ask you this. If you were to guess... I realize as we've waded into this now, there's really nothing to talk about. Would you have any guess as to what Lisa Goddard's drink of choice is, Jim Roop?
Probably a Manhattan or a whiskey sour. She seems that kind to me.
See, we were thinking mixed drink. No, her drink is straight shots of vodka.
She's lying.
No, Sarah, you were my witness.
She did say that.
Really?
And she said... Now, this makes sense. She said it came from living in Russia for a long period of time. And that is where she became acclimated to that. And that really does make sense if you think about it, if you know those people.
It's like a drink of water back there.
Yeah, straight shots of vodka is what... And she said that she actually never drank in college, but when she left college and lived in Russia, that's how she started. She said, as she put it this morning, that's how those people roll. And so she herself, Lisa Goddard, now rolls that way as well.
Wow.
So,
I wonder if she was hired.
That's what I'm saying. She continues to be better with every passing day. So we are going to, whenever it is we bring all the CNN people to town, we're creating a drink recipe folder for all y'all. And so your drink of choice is what?
I'm a Guinness man.
A Guinness man. That's right. It was something like that. Guinness. McCarthy is with the vodka and cranberry. And Lisa Goddard just wants a big bottle of vodka sitting in front of her by herself.
Well, she and Ed can party down.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, I realize now that there was really no point for this. There was nothing to talk about. We have nothing to discuss. But at least I was able to give you a joke about a clown killing someone.
Yeah, you know, I do have a joke for you if you want one.
Okay, yeah.
All right, there's a woman walks into the kitchen, and her husband says, "I just killed 5 flies, 3 male, 2 female." She said, "How could you tell the sex of a fly?" He said, "Well, 2 and 3 were on a beer can, 2 were on the phone."
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wait, hold on. That really absolutely requires the... Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Live in Los Angeles. Fantastic. You know, CBS is like a $1 billion company. That's what we use the resources there just now for. We use the resources so I could tell clown jokes and talk about Lisa Goddard's drinking habits, and Jim Roop could discuss fly humor. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's the nurturing of talents.
It's really what it is.
Meanwhile, a Saddam aide is hanged, and the film shows one severed head. This was an intercom promotion also. Iraq hanged 2 aides of Saddam Hussein before dawn today, but government efforts to avoid a repeat of the uproar over the ousted leader's rowdy execution were thwarted when one of his half-brother's heads was severed by the noose. A government spokesman said the severing of Bazan's head was a rare hangman's blunder. Critics said it may be partly the result of Barzan's illness with cancer. Apparently, officials showed journalist film of Bazan and former judge Edward L. Bander.
This is
standing side by side in orange jumpsuits on the scaffold, appearing pale and trembling with fear.
This is news to me.
As the hangman placed black nooses over their heads. This sounds like a funny morning show thing, doesn't it? As the trap door opened wide, the force of the rope jerked Bender's head right off. The head fell to the floor next to the body in a pool of blood.
Oh!
As Bender's corpse swung above it. This is a news story.
Wait.
And war is not pretty.
His head popped off?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
But he was still, his body was still swinging?
Let's see here. The head fell to the floor next to his body and a pool of blood as the corpse... Oh, I see. What? I guess so, yeah.
What was his corpse attached to the rope with?
Exactly.
That is a good question. Officials have decided not to distribute any part of this film.
No, really. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
An intercom promotion.
And nobody won a Wii.
Really? That's like that contest. Who are those idiots that do? I don't even know. Those guys that were like, smoke 500 cigarettes in 10 minutes to win Britney Spears tickets or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a radio station asks you to do something that's lethal and you do it, really, well, whatever. I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. I'm just saying that nature's a self-regulating system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you want to toss a chainsaw up in the air and catch it while it's running?
Sure.
What do I get? Toby Keith tickets. All right. I mean, there you go. And nature just has a way of working itself out. So, hey, fantastic. All right. Shall we welcome now to the...
I think it's about time, yes.
Do you even know what I'm doing?
No.
All right, let's welcome
it is time.
The Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Jolty's on a vacation
boat. From Los Angeles. Oregonian TV critic. You are in Los Angeles, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, Pasadena, but
Pasadena.
You know,
Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. You were at this. You're at this soiree. This. You were. Yeah, how do you pronounce that word? F-E-T-E-D. Feted. Faded.
Fet. I think.
But I mean,
it being feted.
Feted, and that means to be. I don't know. To be pampered in some way.
Yeah, you could define it that way.
I don't really know.
Partied. It's being like ushered into a party.
Honorary.
You're being celebrated to some degree. So actually, I'm not being feted per se.
Scotty is noting that from the sound of your voice, it means being hungover. Thank you, Scotty. That's the wit.
He would know.
That's the wit of Scotty J. Hey, were you at that that press conference where they were talking about Lost?
I was.
And so, what is the deal? So, have they given an end date for that show?
Oh, you know, they said so, but I don't know if they were being... I mean, that might just... you know, the guy, they were talking about 2-3 years down the line. The guy, the woke dude...
J.J. Abrams.
After the press conference... No, J.J. wasn't there. With Carlton Cuse, I think it was, finally told somebody that he always, in his mind, imagined the show as a 100-episode arc. So that would be somewhere after the 5th season. Or somewhere during the 5th season, but I can't imagine them just vanishing in March or whatever.
Well, and the thing is, you know, the weird thing about that is I mean, I guess it's not weird, but there's so often with those programs where you can tell that they come to a natural ending point. And then obviously what happens is, I mean, this is a given, is somebody just offers them enough money to artificially extend the storyline. And the example that I always use is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, if you watch it, was very obviously meant to end after the 5th season. It was very, very obvious. And it was equally obvious that somebody gave Joss Whedon enough money just to milk it for 2 more years. And it's always, you know, I always admire it when the creators have the self-control to take the show out when it needs to go out. Because The X-Files overstayed its welcome and really just tarnished what was a pretty good legacy up until that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're making buckets and buckets of money and you don't know exactly when or if it's ever going to happen again, and you're, you know, you've got yourself a smooth-oiled machine that's working really well and you like people that you work with and it's fun, you're probably thinking like, well, you know, why the hell not?
Oh, no, I understand it. Trust me, I understand the, you know, because there's always that fear that lightning's not going to strike again and this is the one gig you're going to get. So it is, I think it's easier to walk away from something like that when you have other irons in the fire or something, which is, and you know, J.J. Abrams is, you know, that guy has, it's fair to say that he has a little bit of a mixed track record, I guess, because he has had some things that were relative disappointments, like Mission Impossible 3 and stuff, so, you know, who knows.
Well, yeah.
Let me ask you this, what is your take on that show, Dirt, on FX?
My take is that it's sort of like a noble experiment that didn't quite work out. And part of the problem is I don't think Courtney Cox is particularly well cast, though the awkward thing is that she's like the, you know, creator slash exec producer. So, of course, she's going to cast herself.
Right.
But, you know, she created the show to be a vehicle. And on the one hand, you know, you admire her gutsiness in you know, going right after Friends and launching herself into this fairly dark cable drama where she spends a lot of time cussing and stamping her foot. And
I believe engaging in some sort of self-pleasure with a marital aid.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, right. But it's like, you know, so it's like, wow, that's really kind of a gutsy move for a big network star. And, you know, so I'm sort of down with that. But the show itself, I watched 2 or 3 episodes of it. I just found it like, eh. Just didn't quite get to where it was going, so to me it seemed like a noble failure.
Is FX a big enough network that they can afford to give something like that a season or two to grow, or is that a you got one season to get your act together or you're out of your network?
You know, it kind of depends. I guess it would depend on whether they feel like it's developing any, you know, a real distinct voice. I mean, and I don't know what the numbers are like. I mean, the numbers could be fabulous for them. Just on the strength of Courtney Cox's, you know, reputation alone, because they need, obviously they don't need to get those massive 10 million people of viewer, you know, a night numbers that the networks need. So it's you know, they could just, you know, they could have that thing signed up for 5 years already. I don't know.
Is there anything particularly debauched that you would like to share with us from the time you have so far spent nestled in the warm bosom of Pasadena? Sarah Dillon, for example, did you have dinner next to one of the Olsen twins, Sarah?
I had a lunch, actually, next to both of the Olsen twins.
Top that, Peter Carlin.
Wow, that's pretty rocking.
Yeah, we went to the Chateau Marmont. It was really cool.
Were they chain smoking?
They were totally chain smoking. They were taller than I thought they'd be, and they were like little stick girls with like these huge glasses and really dirty blonde hair.
They look like Keen paintings. You remember those Keen paintings from the 70s?
Yeah.
The kids with the huge freaking eyes?
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What they look like. Or like maybe like Gollum type. They kind of look like Gollum creatures to me. With like little like little bird legs and like huge glass eyes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. Have you seen anybody famous behaving badly?
Famous behaving badly?
Yes.
Everyone's been pretty well restrained so far, but things haven't gotten really out of hand yet. That's probably to come in the next few days.
Well, all right.
There was ABC had a cool party last night that was really, really crowded, and there were lots of famous people there, including most of your favorite cast members from Lost.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, they're sort of that's a working night for them, you know, so it's like I think they all tend to be in pretty good on pretty good behavior.
Excellent. All right, well, my friend, I know you got lots to do. I know you're under the gun to be filing and sorting and posting updates or blogging or whatever it is you do. So I will let you skedaddle. We may I may try to track you down later in the week, see how things are holding up. If not, we will talk to you next week, my friend.
That's cool.
All right, Peter Carlin, read him in print of the Oregonian, live at theoregonian.com. He's in Los Angeles, Peter Carlin. Thank you, sir. All right, let's do this. What do we got here? We got Mark. Mark.
Did you hang up on him?
No, I just tried to press the button, and my hand just landed, like, completely elsewhere. It's like Ted Stryker and his drinking problem. Where he just, I went to press the button, and my hand landed, like, over here. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
What's
and I
up?
Do care.
Thank you.
I just want to say I am loving those cards that like, those cards you're playing. That's great.
Fog, more fog.
Yes.
But I heard that Cheech Marin sound effect.
Oh yeah, hold on. That's hold on a second. We found all these cards. All these cards from. We found. Hold on.
Cisco Duber, give us your thumbs up.
Hold on. Hey. A different one. Hold on.
Man, if this is torture, chain me to the wall.
Yeah, what's funny is that's from a Disney cartoon.
What's going on? Are you what's going on with the phone there? Are you hearing that?
I don't know. It might be the TV.
Are
but,
we all having flashbacks? I'm a voodoo child.
Moving away from the TV.
I feel like I'm getting my Hendrix on. I'm sorry, it's so tempting just to do a wah, 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 wah.
Is it just your microphone?
I'm a voodoo child. What?
I wanted to see if it was just your microphone.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on today. All right, Mark.
Yeah, that's from a Disney cartoon. It's ever heard of Oliver and Company? It's like a
oh, it's with cats.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. That's like the only. That's like one of the only
what
sequels or horrible merchandise.
What? Of. What? We're losing your phone call. Oh, I'm sorry. We lost his call. That's too bad. Hey, who's that on your screen over there?
That's Tara Reid.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
From far away, she looks passable.
Hey, you should get closer to the screen.
I should I should email her. Tara Reid, from far away, you look like somebody that I would have sex with. Tara Reid, when I squint,
I'm sure she'd appreciate that.
When I squint to take off my glasses, you look so fine. We'll be back with Tim Riley after this. Clyde Lewis, the top five. Scotty J, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't let me forget to play the Weekend Geek into the break. I forgot to play the Weekend Geek. I'm a terrible person. You are a very bad person. All right, Clyde Lewis is going to be back in the studio here in a skosh, as our Asian friends say. Lycus at 3, Donna Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, Stephanie Miller back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen. At the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley!
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Jack Dyke on the I-5 next to Hooters on the way to the Coop.
You love that story.
I do.
Doesn't get much
it's just funny
that.
To say Hooters over and over again.
Hooters, really Hooters, is. Hooters.
That's genius.
Meanwhile, they moved all the buses downtown. Used to get the buses at 5th and 6th Streets.
Yeah.
Now they moved them to 3rd and 4th. Remember that because it's going to be there till spring 2006 because they're going to build a train to go to Clackamas County because there's such a big demand to go there.
Really? People can't wait to go to Clackamas. I demand a quicker commute to Clackamas right now.
Just can't get there soon enough.
And the Gresham. The thing about it is, though, is that they're moving the buses to make it more convenient for us right as we're leaving.
Yeah.
Because we are now 14 days away from the move to the Rick Emerson Studios East, at which point this bus route will do us no good. So you guys are going to have to change buses. You guys are going to have to be like two-part commuters, aren't you?
I know. I might have to do a little walking.
No, that's no good. Walking sucks. All right.
It makes you feel good. It invigorates you.
I suppose. That's one way of looking at it.
Gives me a feel for the streets in which I work.
Walking sucks? That's the weirdest thing you've ever
heard. I didn't know. I don't. I've talked about this. Now, look, and I know that I haven't exercised recently, but even when I was bicycling, walking, am I the only one who feels this way? And maybe this is tedious, but I don't care. I will bicycle. I mean, I don't know how many miles it is from my house to here, but let's say 2-3. Then you bicycle home. That's like a good 5-6 miles a day. 5 days a week, whatever. That's like 20, that's like 100 miles a month. And yet walking just wins me. Like walking up, like this escalator out here, which they thank you for turning that off, by the way, on the weekends. It's not like any of us ever come in here to work. So I'll come in here to work on the weekend. The escalator's off and suddenly it's a staircase. And I got to climb the stairs like a commoner. And then when I climb the stairs, I get all winded. I get to the top and I'm all, and it's just no good. So
and you don't smoke.
No, there's no reason why walking ought to wind me, and yet it does. Walking just saps my will to live.
You need to do more walking.
Oh, that's not going to happen. I'm an American. You know that's not going to happen.
Hmm.
All right.
Maybe you need to take the dog for longer walks.
Maybe I need to play whatever this is. This is called, let's see what this is. I need to play this cart. That's what I need to do.
Well, Irishman!
Clad in kilt, left the bar one evening fair. And one could tell by how he walked it.
Oh, I know this song.
He fumbled round until he could.
This is that, hey, diddle, diddle, hidey, hidey, ho.
Sounds like somebody who protests everything.
Yes. And the white trash is copping, and the black folks are starving. That's the little commitments joke there. No, Dr. Demento plays this song.
Longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street.
Sounds like there are two whole people in the audience.
Never playing this song again. I'm throwing it angrily into the ground.
You don't mean it.
No. There's Tim Riley.
While his alleged kidnapper was away at work, teenager Sean Hornbeck apparently had access to a computer and may have put photos of himself online and posted a chilling message on the site created by his own desperate parents reading, quote, "How long are you planning to look for your son?" Unquote. So this is kind of a weird story.
That's creepy.
Yeah, and there's really nothing about it. Nobody's talking anything about it because there were no facts being presented. Why this kid didn't try to escape or anything? Was he happy where he was?
Is this
whatnot?
A kid who was kidnapped by something? Now, was he kidnapped by
some pudgy-looking pizza guy?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Well, basically, that's...
I'm just saying the accuracy and really just the conciseness of that description is really what got me.
Who worked nights part-time at a funeral home. To supplement his meager Midwest earnings.
This show has no soul.
Well, we're just trying to be truthful.
No, it's true.
How old is the kid? We don't want people to have to think too much.
How old was the kid when he was kidnapped?
11.
So, and he was kidnapped. Now, was this a molester? Or was just this want a little pal hanging around with me?
We don't know that.
He just wanted a side
kid. He has no record of child abuse of any kind.
And so he had the kid
Michael
for how long?
Michael Devlin is a 41-year-old pizza shop employee.
Oh, I thought you were being wacky when a pudgy pizza shop guy.
He's a pudgy pizza shop guy. And he worked his way to the top to become manager of this pizza shop in the 25 years he worked there.
Now, God bless him, except for the kidnapping. We need more men like him in this country. Anyway, so he had this kid for how long?
4 years.
And so the kid, that's creepy. So
yeah, this is getting creepier all the time.
So the kid himself, while in the custody of the kidnapper, posted a message on the message board put up by his parents who were looking for him.
Right.
And the message said,
to look for your son. And he posted under the name Sean Devlin. Devlin is the last name of the man suspected of his kidnapping.
Oh, that's so creepy. Why would he do that?
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't understand. If the guy was he... This whole show, the subject makes my bones chill. So I don't understand.
Then there are several web profiles also appearing to be Sean. One on MindViz.com described a Sean from St. Louis as a white atheist with a pet cat.
So was he brainwashed by the guy?
We don't know that.
Oh, that whole thing creeps me out.
Yeah.
Here's another story that people aren't talking about. And like Scotty J, I demand that microphones be shoved in the faces of family members so that I may understand what's going on with the story. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that story that came out about 3 months ago about a woman whose son was kidnapped like 20 years ago? He was kidnapped in like 85, 86 when he was 9 years old. He's 9 years old. He gets kidnapped. I mean, presumably. I mean, you know, vanished on the way home from school one day, blah, 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 blah. Like, just about 6 months ago, a packet of photographs is dropped off at the mom's house showing the kid, not now, but at some point after the kidnapping, like all tied up and whatever.
Creepy.
No, I didn't remember that.
This is a mainstream story. This is not like some blog story. This came out, this was like in the news about 6 months ago. So let's say the kid was kidnapped in 86. Let's say he was kidnapped in whatever, January of 86. Well, these were photographs because he was wearing the same clothing he left when he left the house that morning. He leaves the house in like a January morning in 1986. He never comes home. There are some photographs taken showing him like manacled up, wearing the clothes that he was kidnapped in, but they got dropped off at his mom's house like 3, 4, 5 months ago, like 20 years after it happened, just like left in the mailbox. I mean, how effed up is that?
That is. I hadn't heard that, no.
And I mean, I don't mean to be morbid or to mean like I just have morbid curiosity, but I think that's understandable to be like, I want to, like, what the hell, man? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, what in the name of sweet effing everything is that about? And this story, too. With the kid posting on a message board, like, how long are you going to look for your missing son? Which is me. I mean, that's just weird. All right. Hello, sir. You have a comment about the St. Louis kid.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity to say this because I'm bugging my girlfriend about it. But we were watching the news, and the kid Sean, his friends in the apartment complex where he was supposedly being held hostage, were saying, oh, you wouldn't have known he was a kidnapped kid because he had all this free time. He was always skateboarding, he was always bike riding.
I heard that too, that he was always just around in the street by himself and didn't run away. So that's what
he had plenty of free time. It was like, obviously, we were theorizing, obviously, like, the guy who grabbed him must have been not necessarily like a sexual weirdo, but just maybe he wanted a son and told him, look, I'll be cool. I'll let you pierce your lip. I'll let you hang out. He wasn't going to school. But I mean, you look in the kid's eyes, and it's just obvious that he kind of like, well, I know something you don't. I mean, how can you be like a 14, 15-year-old kid and have all that free time and not know just to go to the cops?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He might be brainwashed, though. That's the thing.
That's one heck of a brainwashing. I mean, he can't walk down to the corner police drive. Can you signal with a fuzzy signal? Please, just one.
That's the whole thing about being brainwashed. When you're all like, that's one hell of a... Well, that's what it is. That's the thing about being brainwashed, is you don't make it... Look,
it's not a not-so-good brainwash.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Now, I mean, that's the whole point. That's what brainwashing is. Brainwashing isn't like when I tell you, like, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you'd send me $5. Like, brainwashing is that's what... It's easy... Now, I know this will sound creepy, but I apologize in advance. It's easier to brainwash somebody than you might imagine. I know how to do it.
I mean, that he did go on to the website and ask, well, how long will you be looking for your son? I don't know. It's just too many weird details.
Did you ask to be taken out, like, with the phone?
Yes, please. God
what?
Bless America, land that I love.
That's a good promo.
Who wants to know how to brainwash somebody? I can tell you.
Okay, I do.
Do you want to know?
Sure, why not?
All right, and then we got to go to a break, and we got to bring Clyde on. Here's how you brainwash somebody. Should I be saying this on the air?
It's your program.
Well, that's true.
And this is like the rantings of a lunatic.
Worst things have happened on The View.
It's true. No, here's how you brainwash somebody.
All right.
It's you can do it in two easy steps. Take notes. You remove protein from their diet. In other words, you don't let them have any protein. You strip all the protein out of their diet. And then you have them engage in manual labor or something that consumes a lot of calories. You know, like something that burns a lot of calories, whether it's exercise or whether it's you know, something that is calorie burning intensive, like I don't want to say like yard work,
but
something
like
that.
I don't think people know what
protein is. No, but you remove, if you remove protein from their diet, have them engage in manual labor, repeat. That's it. And after a couple of days of that, your cognitive powers just are gone. Gone, totally gone. That's what they did at Jonestown.
That's really creepy.
That's what Jim Jones did. That if you when you see creepy, you look at the diet at Jonestown and it's all just like rice and whatever. I forget what the other thing is, but there were two main things and neither of them had any protein. He deprived them of all protein, and then he had them out doing, like, field work all day. And then, yeah, after, like, 6 days, I could come and just tell you to toss yourself off a building, and you do it. You lose all power to have any sort of cognitive rationality or any sort of – you lose the ability to form any sort of contrary or argumentative power in your head. So there you go. That's how you can brainwash somebody. No protein, lots of work, rinse, repeat. There you go. Never say the Rick Emerson Show didn't teach you anything. Next week, how to make napalm. Let's do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back with Clyde Lewis.
Well, still locked in a nasty feud with Rosie O'Donnell. Donald Trump may be looking
for... Rosie O'Donnell. Why has nobody thought of that? That's like the new Tomcat.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the new Brangelina. Rosie O'Donnell.
Wait.
This joke, copyright 2007. Rick Emerson Show.
All right.
So now Donald Trump is going after the Secretary of State, and why not? Trump says in an interview that Rice seems to be a nice person, but when it comes to her role as the nation's chief negotiator, he'd like to use his trademark line on her, "You're fired." Americans want someone who knows how to negotiate, that knows the art of the duel. Oh, this is from the Sean Hannity program. In all fairness, I see Condoleezza Rice. She goes on a plane. She gets off a plane. She waves. She goes there and here to meet another dictator. She talks. She leaves. She waves. The plane takes off. Nothing happens. It's a joke. Nothing ever happens. I think she's a nice woman. But I don't want a nice woman. I want someone who's not necessarily nice. I think he's accurate at saying what she does every day.
Oh, no, he's accurate about that, but I think
Waves, jumps on the plane.
That's her thing. All right. We should
never lose her luggage.
Mm-hmm. Never. Ladies and gentlemen, we will return with... what the hell am I doing here? Oh, yeah, Clyde Lewis. All right, we'll return. Ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman in all of creation, Tim Riley.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Back after this. By the way, Scotty J is reporting. At Hooters, the steak fries are hot and juicy. Back after this. We now want to set this part of the broadcasting show. Dave, show. Hello. I am Privet. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up tomorrow, Dennis Pittenberger inexplicably returns. What else? Stuff. Oh, tomorrow we'll talk more about Sarah's L.A. trip. Here's the thing, because we talk about we don't have time.
And people are doing stuff today. A lot of people don't have to work.
Yeah, so you bring it up tomorrow, because I got lots of questions.
They're having their weenie roast. Yeah, MLK weenie roast on a cold day like today. What else? That's what you do, right?
To have an MLK weenie roast.
Yeah, why not?
Why not, indeed? Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Before we do anything further, what's coming up tonight at Dante's?
Well, tonight I'm going to be, of course, I'm going to talk about MLK. I was going to talk about birds dying, but I figure I'll wait a week for that.
He would have wanted it that way.
Yeah, he would have. But no, it's not going to be all about MLK, though. It's going to be about, it's called All in the Presentation, and it basically is going to be examining the approved I Have a Dream speech that we hear every time we talk about MLK.
Is this going to be something that gets me into trouble?
No, it's not going to get you into trouble. I think that we need to remember why MLK died, and I'm going to talk about that today. I'm not going to go into detail. I think people are going to say, well, he fought the good fight against racism. He didn't do
that. Does it have something to do with cookies?
No. Okay. No, it has nothing to do with cookies. But, you know, King, we need to remember King for what he said, you know, after the I Have a Dream and the speech that really got him killed. And for those of you that are into conspiracy theory or into whatever, into history, you know what speech that was.
You put history in quotes. You just put history in quotes with your fingers.
But conspiracy theory, not in quotes.
Yeah.
But, I think that, you know, and I'm going to point that out also. I want to point out some things. I'm writing an article right now called Manifest Hypocrisy. And basically what it is that we all believe in manifest destiny. And we believe in that, you know, this country is still blessed by God. And God loves us more than any other country on the planet. And in reality, I think God's gone to bed. And I think it's over. And I think that we need to understand that in order to get in God's good graces, we need to be a little bit better to each other. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's like the idea of spirituality is lost on people because they think spirituality means, oh, you can't have gay marriage, you can't have, you know, abortion, you can't have execution. Yeah, it's just nuts. And I think that we need to figure out what spirituality really means, and that is love for each other and having a little bit of love. And remember what Dr. King talked about, not just the fact that I have a dream that my children will be able to go to school in the same, you know, and be treated the same way. The dream also had to do with, you know, making sure that poverty doesn't take over and the military-industrial complex doesn't come and kick our butt and put a jackboot in our mouth every time we turn around. So
you are such an upper. I'm so glad that we have you on to really to start the week off on a positive.
Well, it's going to be positive. It's going to be a really spiritual moment tonight, I think. I think if people want to be uplifted, they're going to go tonight. Because I talk about uplifting.
Yeah, it sounds uplifting.
No, I mean, I talk about reality. I mean, reality is reality. And I mean,
God hates us!
No, I don't know. I think God would love us if we would be a little bit more loving to each other and a little bit less material, a little bit less shallow.
Or if Jesus could still play the piano.
Yeah, if Jesus could play the harmonica, it'd be awesome, too. But I wanted to whore some things, if I could, on the show, because I don't whore enough.
Martin Luther King would have wanted that.
I was really excited to find out this weekend.
I have a dream that one day Clyde Lewis will use my death to whore his appearance at a bar.
Yeah, I'm going to give out Martin Luther King bobbleheads tonight at Dante's. No.
I'm stepping away from the microphone.
What? Bobbleheads? What the heck's that
That's
all
not
about?
An insulting thing.
This is step one, and I fear that that's an observation that could lead to something unpleasant.
It's not.
And I am not going to have any part of that.
It's not. But I do want to talk about something that's really got me excited, and that is the book Alien Invasion. The role-playing game Alien Invasion.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, but you guys have your pic. Is that the thing you guys have your pictures in?
Yeah. It's
that picture of you and Sadie and Aaron. That is the best image of you guys. I don't know if it's a picture or a painting or both. Is it a painting that's
It was a painting that was done by Michael Tresca.
Is it a painting or is it a picture that has been sort of illustrated?
It was a painting that was done, and it's going to be used in a book called Alien Invasion.
That's the best image of you guys ever.
And where is it?
Have you seen it?
No, where can I see it?
Oh, you can see it on my MySpace. Go to my MySpace to see it.
That is the best image of you guys that has ever been done. Fantastic.
The amazing thing is that it first was released, Alien Invasion was first released as a PDF online. It was a downloadable game. It's an RPG game, role-playing game for geeks who play role-playing games. And the foreword is by me, and it's nice because it talks about the West Desert Alien and also alien diseases and stuff that I talk about all the time on my show. And the great part is that it's now in paperback, and you can go online, type in Google, you know, Clyde Lewis Alien Invasion RPG game, and they have it on sale for like $19.95. And I don't make any money off this, so please don't think that. But I do want people to understand that it's really cool to be in a paperback book with your picture and with a number of things. So it's just really awesome to be a part of that. And so I wanted to plug it. Go online, you can buy it. You can get in your little PayPal account and go to town if you want. And Aaron's probably listening. He's saying, "Oh, where is it? Where is it?" So, obviously, it'll be really cool to have that if you want to get a copy of that. A little bit on the History Channel situation. They had a focus group with the television show that was supposed to be on for the History Channel, and I was talking with Tim about this. You know, when you're dealing with television specials and things of that nature, you have to go through all kinds of hoops to make it work. And apparently they really like the show, but they want to reformat it, which means that I may be able to go on tour for at least four shows with Lewis Black.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, you already had an audition with him somehow, right? Where you were like in a room with him?
Yeah, well, I was in a room with him for like 5 minutes because he's heavily touring and going everywhere. And the funny thing was they did a situation where I'm speaking in a studio, and I'm talking about all the weird things I talk about from no moon landing to 9/11 or whatever. And it's kind of like what it was when I was on the Penn & Teller show. But what they didn't want is they didn't want it to look like Penn & Teller. The audience of the focus group that they saw, it's in pics, by the way. But yeah, they didn't want to have it like the Penn & Teller show, so they wanted it to be a little bit more he and I bantering back and forth, because they caught my act at Dante's. They really love the act at Dante's.
Is he doing his Lewis Black thing where he's kind of doing that John Belushi, but no!
Yeah, he's like
I mean, John, I got to tell you.
Yeah,
he's doing the angry, sweaty
thing. He goes insane, angry and sweaty at me, and I get... I basically tell him to calm down and that his veins are going to burst, his head's going to explode, and we fight, and it's really cool because I love Lewis, and Lewis says that he sees a lot of what I do as what he does, and it's really cool. They don't even have a name for it yet because they're thinking of calling it like the Lewis Show or the you know the Blacklist or something. They're thinking about calling it something, but in the meantime, there may be an opportunity. I'm going to be meeting with this guy by the name of John Kosh, who worked with the Beatles back in the 60s. He's the producer for the show, and we're going to get together and probably work out a situation where we can hopefully I can go at least for a tour, like two or three shows. With Lewis Black, it'd be kind of fun, and then go back to L.A. and do some work there.
And then the Dante's thing is tonight at 8.
Yeah, so if you want to catch some really fun stuff, that'll be there tonight at 8. We have a lot of visuals over the top. A lot of people come out, you know. Is that cool?
Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello!
Hey!
Hey!
Just wanted to point out, I was poking around at geekinthecity.com there. Aaron's got a featured article and a blog spot and everything about the alien invasion there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he just caught on that it's the paperback's out, and you can order the paperback. I don't think they have it at Amazon, so you have to go to all these other websites. Yet. I don't think Amazon's saying it, but Michael Tresca recently did an interview with Amazon about what inspired him to do Alien Invasion, and apparently it was one of those crazy shows I did back in, I guess, the 90s, where he thought that it was a really scary show, and it inspired him to do the book. So it's really cool. I'm excited to see the finished paperback copy, and I'm hoping...
Well, I saw some of the artwork, some of the paintings and stuff that were done for... Yeah, I agree. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just really excited. This is biggest thing for me ever, I think. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you. There you go. Rick, this email says, Rick, according to Max Brooks' definitive monograph on the subject of the undead, the Zombie Survival Guide, zombies make very poor evil minions. They have a tendency to disregard your instructions and instead eat your flesh while you scream. Just thought I would pass that on, advice.
World War Z, by the way, good book by...
I don't read a lot of fiction, but everybody's telling me to read World War Z, Cat and Aaron and all those guys.
And I also recommend that you go see Children of Men. I don't know why it wasn't in the top 10.
Now, I went to see Good Shepherd, and they had the preview, the trailer.
Yeah.
When did we start calling them trailers instead of previews? But somebody, it was like the Children of Men. And it's what? It's like the it's sort of like an inverse Hell Comes to Frogtown. Have you seen Hell Comes to Frogtown?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Where Roddy Piper is the last fertile man on Earth and he's going to impregnate women.
I actually think that that book, genius. The book that was written, did have the men were infertile and not the women. So,
yeah.
Because then the frogs began to show up. But in this one, it is such a realistic sci-fi film. You sit through the whole thing scared to death. I sat through the whole film with my mouth dropped. I could not believe what was going on. It happened so fast, and it's so intense. I haven't been in a film so intense since War of the Worlds. But, and War of the Worlds is kind of goofy, but this is not a goofy film.
It looked unnerving.
It is unnerving. It's unnerving from the standpoint is you're right there in the war zone, and you get to see...
The trailer for Children of Men reminded me of the second half of 28 Days Later. Which is when you think they're safe because they're at the military base, and then you realize, oh, look, it's a woman, you know, and then you're like, oh, God.
And it leaves you, and the ending leaves you kind of wondering what's going on. It doesn't leave it open for a sequel, although I would love to see a sequel of this film if it was done the same way. But it just is a remarkable film. I think Michael Caine is...
Michael Caine?
Michael Caine's
in everything.
It. But he plays like this hippie guy. I mean, actually, he's our generation in the future, which I think is kind of cool. Plays this guy. And there's a number of things, like assisted suicide. Now you can buy suicide kits and take them if you don't want to live. He says, when you think it's time, you can
fantastic.
Take it. It's called Quietus. Mm. It's based on a book that I had looked over a while ago. It was a sci-fi book, but they've changed everything in it. But it is amazing the way they have depicted this. There's actually an homage to Pink Floyd's Animals album as well.
Oh, then that's all it takes to get me there.
I sat through the whole thing going, wait a minute, this is Pink Floyd. But then when, you know, that the Animals album, of course, is based on the book by Orwell, Animal Farm. So, I mean, it's all Orwell, but we don't hear about government, why it took over and how it took over. We just know that something is wrong in London. I think a lot of people aren't seeing this film because it has sort of an anti-American slant.
Well, I'll go see it. I'm totally there. Where'd you see it at?
I saw it at Century 16.
I'm trying to see every single movie in Cinetopia. That's my goal, is to never have to go
Cinetopia.
To...
Cinetopia!
Have you been there?
No, I have not.
Oh, dude!
And I wish, though, that the living room here downtown would be that way. But no,
the
they play films I haven't even heard of, and they want $9.
You're talking about the living room on Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and it's all about...
No, the living room is over here...
Oh, it's where Ozone
near Roxy.
Used to be. Yeah, but it's a bunch of art crap that nobody cares about.
Yeah, no one cares about this, and I'm not going to pay $9 to sit on a couch watch stupid films I can see on PBS.
Cinetopia is actually more. Cinetopia is $10, but I'll pay it because it's movies I want to see.
Sure.
Living room looks like crap. We should get the... I don't mean it looks like crap, but I mean it's movies that I don't care about. I'm not an artist. I'm not a cosmopolitan.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would play really cool films. But
Chris.
Apparently,
Hey.
Hey. Where are my shoes?
I sent you an email about that. I said, you know, you check and see if they put a delivery confirmation on it.
Yeah.
We can look that up on the internet.
Fantastic.
You can look it up on the internet. I could look it up through work.
Right.
You know, I can help you find it.
All right. Where am I at, sir?
You teased a lot today. You got to nothing.
genius.
You did get the glorious story of Intercom killing someone.
Yes.
Well, not glorious, but Peter Carlin's there. Clyde and Sarah got into a little bit about her L.A. trip.
All right, sir.
But you didn't get the Cannibal Watch that I heard?
No, no.
No Top 5? No Week in Geek?
No.
And
no.
Did you talk about the Inquirer?
No.
Okay, so that's 4.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Enjoy your day. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, see you tonight at Dante's at 8. Insert it all here. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Bye now.
Uba Shabayev.